This is our continuing coverage in the trial of Shanda Vander Ark, a twisted story of a mother who depraved her own child of food until the point of death, even employing her oldest son in this torturous charade. We now take you to the courtroom for our continuing coverage.
You may be seated.
Right, we're back in the record and file 23110FC, People versus Shanda Vander Ark. The jury is secure in the jury room. Anything before we bring him out, Mr. Roberts? Mr. Johnson?
No, sir, thank you.
All right, Mr. Weaver, you may bring him out. Please rise. Maybe seated. Right, Mr. Roberts, you can call your next witness.
Call Officer Ryan Pisky.
All right. Morning, Officer Pisky.
Good morning.
Please raise your right hand. This matter now pending. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I swear.
All right, you can put your hand down, grab a seat. Please state your name for the record, spelling your first name and last name.
My name is Ryan Pisky. First name is Ryan, R-Y-A-N. Last of Pisky, P-I-E-S-K-E.
Thank you. Sir, could you state your occupation for the record, please?
I'm a police officer with the Northern Shores Police Department.
And I would like to direct your attention back to July 6th of 2022. Were you working in your capacity as a detective for the Norton Shores Police Department at that time, sir?
Yes, I was.
And on that date, on July 6th of 2022, were you dispatched to an address at 4788 Marshall in the city of Norton Shores, County of Muskegon, State of Michigan?
That is correct.
And what was the nature of the dispatch when you go into that address at the time that you were called?
I was contacted by Detective Sergeant Joel Hooksema, requesting that we respond to a suspicious death investigation.
And did you go to that location?
I did, yes.
And when you arrived at the scene, and we've discussed this in the hallway, there's one individual that we are only going to refer to by the initial G, but can you describe, including that person, can you describe who was present at the scene when you arrived?
There were several police officers on scene. There was Ms. Vander Ark, there was G, there was Paul Ferguson, and the deceased.
And did you have an occasion then to, was Timothy Ferguson's body still in the premises at that time?
Yes, it was.
And did you have an occasion to observe his body at that scene at that time?
I did observe his body.
And what observations did you make about his physical person at that point in time, other than the fact that he was deceased?
That he was extremely malnourished, at least it appeared that way. Very skinny. You could see bones protruding from his body. You could see his ribs through his skin.
And did you then observe did you take an opportunity to observe the rest of the residents?
I did, yes.
And so we've already had it described by Officer Stefanich as a bi-level residence, and Timothy Ferguson's body located in the lower level of that residence. Did you have an occasion to observe the rest of the lower level at that time?
I at some point during the day, I did observe the rest of the lower level. I don't know exactly where that falls in line with.
But you did at some point observe the lower?
Certainly, yes.
And specifically, did you have an occasion to observe that there were cameras in that residence?
Yes, there were several cameras throughout the lower level of the residence.
And at some point then, did you also observe the upper level of the residence?
Again,
not sequentially, but at some point.
Yes, I did.
The specifically related to the kitchen area, did you make some observations of the kitchen area?
Yeah, in the kitchen area, there were locks on some of the cabinets in the refrigerator, the freezer.
Did that strike you as unusual?
Certainly, yes.
Now, ultimately, did you have an occasion then to conduct an interview with the defendant, Ms. Vander Ark?
I did later on that afternoon, yes.
Now, for the record, could you point out Ms. Vander Ark and identify what she's currently wearing if she's in the courtroom right now?
She's right there sitting in between the defense attorneys. She's wearing a black jacket, it appears, or a dark blue. I can't tell. Okay.
Keep your voice up just a little bit if you can. The microphone will amplify, but not too much. So if you could just keep it up, so you need to make sure that all the jurors can hear what you're saying. So you did conduct an interview with Ms. Vander Ark at some point in time, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And I would ask that the record reflect that this witness has also identified the defendant, Your Honor.
Very
well. Specifically, I wanted to direct you to portions of that. And you, at the time that you talked to Ms. Vander Ark, if you already had an occasion to observe what you just described in terms of the kitchen area with locks on the freezer and the refrigerator.
Yes, I observed those things prior to speaking with her.
And did you ask her about those?
I did ask her about those.
And did she indicate to you what Timothy's connection was to the locks on the freezer and the refrigerator and
yeah.
any other access to food?
She indicated that those locks were to prevent him from sneaking food or snacking on food that he wasn't supposed to have. That there was a pantry that was open that he had access to, but he did not have a key to those locks.
But specifically, did she indicate that that there was a pantry that did not have any type of lock on it?
Yes.
And did you observe that pantry?
I don't recall the pantry specifically, but.
So is it related to Timothy's access? He did not have access. She indicated to you he did not have access to the refrigerator or to the freezer.
That is correct, yes.
And did you talk to Ms. Vander Ark about the circumstances leading up to Timothy going on any type of hunger strike?
Yeah, she had indicated that he had a hunger strike that he went on in January, starting after January 3rd. That lasted maybe 18 to 19 days, and then an additional hunger strike that started approximately 2 weeks prior to us being at the home.
So, and you're there in July, so she's talking about two separate incidents where he stopped eating, is that right?
That is correct, yes.
The first one occurring in January, the second one occurring leading up to Timothy's death.
Yes.
And the January hunger strike, did you later come to learn that there was a traumatic event where an individual had a stroke and was out of the home at that point in time?
Yeah, at that time, Adam Vander Ark had a stroke and could no longer live at the home. So I believe that stroke happened on January 3rd, and this happened shortly thereafter.
So Timothy's first hunger strike, she's indicating to you, took place sometime after January 3rd, after Adam had the stroke?
That is correct, yes.
And is it your understanding that Adam Vander Ark is actually the father of the minor child that we're identifying as G?
That is correct, yes.
But he's not the biological father of Timothy Ferguson or the older child, Paul Ferguson, who was also in the home.
That's also correct, yes.
So she's talking about the hunger strike, talking about the second hunger strike now that she's referring to leading up to Timothy's death. Did she indicate to you at any point in time prior to his death that she realized how serious it was getting and tried to get him to eat?
So she had indicated that not until the night prior to his death that at that time she realized how bad it was. She had threatened to take him to the ER if he didn't eat, that he ate a piece of toast with some butter on it, or at least she saw him take a few bites of it, and then she walked away, and that he said he was done eating it, and he went downstairs for the night.
And so did she indicate how it was that he went downstairs or what happened when he went downstairs to go to bed for that night?
That he went downstairs on his own, that she had told him good night, but he did not come back upstairs to say good night to her, that she walked down to the bottom of those stairs and said, asked for a hug, and that he had refused to give her a hug at that time.
So this is the night before he is deceased, is that right?
That is correct, yes.
Now, did she indicate to you what happened in the morning when Timothy was discovered?
She indicated that she heard a thud in the night, that it was Timothy falling out of his bunk bed, it happened sometime in an hour that was ended with a 30, like, for example, 5:30. She said that she had originally thought it was 5:30, but that she had been told that it couldn't have been 5:30 because Timothy was already deceased at that time. So she then hears this, she goes downstairs to check on him, and finds that he's not breathing.
So initially there was an indication that she believed it was 5:30. I think we've had some testimony from Officer Stefanich to that effect. But based on information that she had received from ProMed, did she then indicate it wasn't 5:30, but it was some point earlier in the evening, or earlier in the morning, I should say, that she went to check on Timothy?
Can I correct myself? I just said that she had found him not breathing. At that time, she didn't. He was, according to her, still breathing at that time.
Right, and that's kind of what we were getting at, is that at some point in the night, at some point that morning, she checked on him because he had fallen out of bed.
Yes.
And he was responsive at that point in time, is that correct?
That's what she said, yes.
Right, and by the time she was talking to you, the 5:30 had been essentially disproven because of information she'd gotten from ProMed.
Yes.
About how long Timothy had been deceased, but she relayed to you it was some time ending in the 30.
That is correct, yes.
But he was alive and responsive at that point in time.
Yes, sir.
Right, so then did she then indicate what happened when she discovered him from essentially the second time?
Right? Yeah, so then the second time, she had called for him in the morning. She had woke up, got ready for work, called for him. He didn't answer. That she went downstairs to check on him, found him not breathing, that her son Paul helped remove him from the top bunk of the bed onto the floor, and that's when he was found deceased.
And so she's specifically talking about removing him from the top bunk of the bed. Did you observe that bed in the basement area?
I did observe the bed in the basement, yes.
And she indicated that Paul helped her get Timothy off of the bed because he was not responsive at that point in time.
That is correct, yes.
Did you ever ask her if she had any photographs on her phone of Timothy from the time from January, the time of the stroke, until then?
I had asked her if she had photographs on her phone. She said that she would have photographs of the other kids, but not of Timothy after that January 3rd date.
But she did have photos of the other boys on her phone.
That's what she said. Yes.
She said. Right. Again, by the time you're talking to Ms. Van Ark that day, you'd already conducted a search or aware of items that were removed from or seized or to be seized from that home. Is that correct?
That's correct.
One of those items was some leg shackles that we've had some testimony at from officers for Stefanich. Did you ask Ms. Van Ark about what the leg shackles were for?
Yeah, she said that she had purchased the leg shackles from her Amazon account. I don't remember if it was a month or several months prior that they were for her son Paul to use on a TikTok video, and that it didn't involve any use on any human being, but it was for Legos or something along the lines of that.
But the leg shackles she indicated to you were for Paul?
Correct.
For a TikTok video. At that point in time, we were also aware that there was a closet in the basement area that had some type of alarm on it or some type of sensor on the door indicating if somebody was moving in and out of that closet.
Yes. Yep. I asked her about the alarm on the closet. She told me that she had some sewing equipment that was in that closet that she didn't want anybody to have access to.
For sewing equipment?
For sewing equipment.
Did you observe any sewing equipment in the basement?
There was sewing equipment in the basement, but it was in the open area of the basement landing, which is where Timothy's bed was also, the bunk bed was also.
So the sewing equipment was not in the closet where this alarm was on the door. Again, her statement to you being because the sewing equipment, that's what the alarms were for.
Yeah, the sewing equipment was not in the closet where the alarm was.
Did you have indications to actually go into that small closet area?
Yes.
And what observations did you make about that closet area?
In that closet area, there was a blue tarp that was laid out on the floor that it smelled like urine and feces. And that's essentially it.
You already referenced the fact that you observed multiple cameras inside the home. Did you ask Ms. Van der Ark what the purpose of those cameras were?
Yeah, I did ask about the cameras. She indicated that they were for G to watch him because he had been stripping down naked and walking around the home.
So the cameras were for G because he would strip naked and walk around?
Yes.
Did she offer any explanation as to how having a camera would stop somebody from walking around naked?
Not that it would stop, but that she could tell that it was happening so that she could address it.
As part of that then, did she relate to you or did you come to understand that those cameras allowed her to communicate through the camera in some fashion?
Yes, she said that she was able to communicate, two-way communication was actually available through the cameras, or some of the cameras, in which she could talk and also be heard and that she could hear what was happening.
Were you also aware that there had been some hot sauce located in the downstairs bathroom of that residence?
Yes, there was a bottle of hot sauce that was located on the counter, the bathroom counter.
And what did she indicate to you was the purpose of that hot sauce?
She said that it was for food, that Timothy liked spicy food, and that it was used for food.
Did she offer any explanation why it was in the bathroom?
She did not. She said that when she last saw it, it was upstairs.
Getting back to the shackles for just a moment, did you ask her if she ever used those shackles to restrain Timothy in any way?
Yeah, she indicated that she had not ever used those shackles to restrain Timothy.
Thank you, Officer. No further questions.
All right. Mr. Johnson, any cross-examination?
Yes, sir.
All right, you may proceed.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Sir, did you also conduct an interview later with
Paul Ferguson?
I did, yes, sir.
Okay, you did an interview with Mr. Ferguson, correct?
That is correct.
And how long after this event did you do your interview? Being at the house at this event, when you were at the house, long afterwards?
Well, there's two separate interviews that I did with Paul Ferguson, one while we were at the home, and then one the next day at the police department.
I'm talking about, that's the one the next day at the police department. You did an interview with him, took about an hour and 45 minutes, is that correct?
And you're referring specifically to the one at the police department?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't recall the amount of time it took, but certainly it was a lengthy interview.
Okay. And the subject matter of the interview was what's going on at Paul's home, correct?
Correct, yes.
Do you remember during the course of this interview, if at any time, do you have to explain the gravity of the situation to Paul? Now, do you have to explain what's wrong here, what's going on here, why this is horrible, why this is terrible? You have to explain those things to Paul?
Not necessarily explain, but we did talk about the magnitude of what was happening.
And why did you do that? Why did you have to explain it to him?
That's a good question.
Was it in response to his answers to your previous questions?
Yeah, I think that would be a good way to explain it.
He seemed to be minimizing. Would you say that? Minimizing how big a deal this was? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I certainly think that would be the case.
Would you agree that he was seemed to be protecting his mother?
Certainly, I agree with that also.
Okay. And during the course of your interview, did you feel the need during the course of this interview to, for lack of a better term, have a come to Jesus moment with Paul, explain to him what's going on here, how serious it is?
I did have that conversation with Paul.
Okay. It was your, and tell me if I'm wrong, was it your impression that you needed to do that because he was minimizing what was going on, he was protecting his mom? That was the impression you got, is that correct?
I believe that that's a factor, and also factors are that I didn't believe him to be entirely truthful about what we were talking about. But.
Okay. No further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Any redirect, Ms. Roberts?
No redirect.
All right. Officer, you can stand down. May this witness be excused, Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Your Honor, my apologies. If I may, I've got a couple questions if I may ask them.
Okay. Any All objection, right. Mr. Roberts?
Go ahead, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Roberts, do you know which proposal to give us these two are?
Six.
Okay. All right. Also, when was the last time you were in my client's home?
I don't know that date specifically.
A year and a half ago.
That sounds
okay. All right. And I ask you that because you at one point you were asked the question if the refrigerators and the freezer and the cabinets had security locks on them. Do you remember that question?
I do remember that question.
And you recall, as I recall, your answer was yes, they did.
I said I wasn't certain about the cabinet, but...
That's what I'm getting to. Can I show you photographs and that may refresh your recollection?
Certainly.
Okay. I'm showing you what's been marked, people's proposals, that it's 9 and 6. Can you explain to the jury what those purport to be? What would you think that would be? What's in those photographs?
So there
are we refreshing this witness's recollection? Or are we
referring to the exhibits themselves?
We're refreshing his recollection.
Okay. Well, typically, because they're not admitted, he can review them himself. They're, because they're not admitted, is unless...
I think we had a stipulation. Essentially, these from the exhibits were already admitted, Judge. So.
Okay. My understanding was there was a review of the exhibits, but there wasn't stipulated their admission yet because Mr. Johnson didn't want to just agree to everything. But I could be wrong, Mr. Johnson. Are you granting the admission of all the people's exhibits at this time?
Yes, Your Honor. We would stipulate to their admission.
Okay. Time. All right. Then. All right. Just to make sure. All right. You can proceed.
And if it helps, I can pull it up on the monitor. We're going to do that anyway with the next question.
I don't need that. I just want to refresh your recollection.
All right. Go ahead, Mr. Johnson. Thank you.
I asked that question. You know those pictures are? You have any recollection of those pictures?
Yeah, these are inside of her home.
Okay. And part of the picture shows some of the cabinets in that home. Is that correct?
I'm specifically, I think, referring to a pantry and the refrigerator and the freezer.
Okay. So.
These cabinets and then the refrigerator. But there's a pantry, I think, that's what the statement was referring to.
Okay. So when you said there's a lot, you weren't referring to that cabinetry. Maybe I should ask you what you were referring to. That would be kind of novel. When you answer the question, were there locks on the freezer, refrigerator, and cabinets, what were you referring to in terms of the cabinets?
That's a great question. I'm referring to a statement made by her. Am I off base on what I'm talking about?
Okay.
I'm looking at, I asked her about the locks. She says,
all right.
And so I'm referring to what her statement was.
And so, having gone through all this whole exercise, the bottom line is you're not sure about the cabinets, the pantry being locked. Is that what you're saying?
What I can say with certainty is that there are cabinets that were unlocked. The pantry, I don't recall if there was a lock or not on the pantry.
Thank you.
I have
no
further
questions.
I have a follow-up to that.
Yep. Go ahead, Mr. Evans.
Officer, Mr. Johnson asked you if you were... if you were going off of your observations or what Ms. Van Ark told you. I want to focus on what she told you about the pantry. Did she make a statement to you that the pantry was unlocked? In other words, there was nothing to restrict access to that pantry.
She did make that statement.
Thanks.
Any thought for that, Mr. Johnson?
No, sir.
All right. Now may this witness be excused, Mr. Roberts.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, is this witness excused, or would you like him to remain under subpoena?
Your Honor, we are prepared to excuse this witness.
Okay. Thank you, Officer. You're excused. All right. Sir Roberts, you can call your next witness.
My next witness is going to be Lieutenant Hooksma, and I am going to connect to the monitor now.
Okay.
Are we in D or G?
We're in D.
D?
Yeah.
Connecting right now.
Okay. If you want to angle that, I can probably hook him up. If you want to angle the TV now, I'll hook him up when he gets in. So. Okay. Raise your right hand. This matter now pending. You swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
All right, put your hand down, grab a seat. Please state your name for the record, spelling your first name and last name.
Lieutenant Joel Hooksema. Joel Hooksema.
Can every the members of the jury see that okay? Would it help if we dim the lights at all? Or
dim the lights a little bit.
Dim the lights a little bit? Can we do that, Mr. Cleaver?
There, that's good.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Mr. Roberts.
Technology's actually working for a little bit, so let's done as quickly as we can. Yep. Sir, could you state your occupation for the record, please?
I'm a patrol lieutenant with the City of Norton Shores Police Department.
He was sworn in, right?
Yes, he was. Yes. I want to make sure. Can you see it at the exhibit on the
Yes,
monitor?
Yep, okay. It's working. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Lieutenant, I want to direct your attention back to July 6th of 2022. Were you working in capacity at that time as a detective sergeant for the City of Norton Shores Police Department?
I was.
And as detective sergeant, were you essentially the officer or the detective in charge of this investigation?
I was.
Your role as detective sergeant, is that the head of the other detectives assigned to the Norton Shores Police Department?
Correct.
And since that time, you've been promoted actually to the rank of lieutenant, is that correct?
That's correct.
So again, working back to July 6th of 2022, did you become involved in the investigation into the events that had taken place at 4788 Marshall Road in the city of North Shores, County of Muskegon, State of Michigan?
I did.
And did you actually go to that location?
I did.
All right, we're going to go through some photographs for the jury. For the record, these have already been stipulated to as People's Exhibits 1 through 32. They're sequential. The physical copies for the jury had the exhibit numbers on them. We'll go through them one by one for the with the officer so the jury can see them on the monitors. We're looking here at what is going to be People's Exhibit number 1. I'm going to lose count at some point with the exhibits. I know I will. But People's Exhibit 1, what are we looking at in that photograph, Lieutenant?
That is the home where the incident occurred.
And People's Exhibit 2?
That is looking at the front door of the home into the home.
And in that image, you can see two sets of stairs, one going up, one going down. That's the bi-level nature of this home, is that correct?
That's correct.
And when you arrived on that scene, did you go both to the upper and lower portions of that home?
I first went to the lower portion, then I did go to the upper portion.
Why did you go to the, it seems obvious, but why did you go to the lower portion first?
That's where the deceased was located.
Okay. But you did have occasion to observe both the upstairs and downstairs of that home, is that correct?
Correct.
And is that substantially, some of these photographs are taken on two different days, is that correct?
Correct.
Now, during the course of this, did you conduct two separate searches of that home pursuant to a search warrant?
Yes.
And is that the reason why we have photographs from two different days?
That's correct.
But you have had an opportunity to review all those photographs in preparation for trial today, and would you agree that those are a fair and accurate depiction of the home as it appeared to you on both July 6th and was the second search warrant on July 7th?
It was, correct.
And that's the condition in which the home appeared at the time so that you were there on July 6th and July 7th?
Yes.
So People's Exhibit number 3, what are we looking at in that photograph?
That's the lower level of the home, what's been referred to as the common area, just a main room in the lower level where the deceased was located.
Right, and we can see a sheet here. I know you can't necessarily see what I'm pointing at with the laser pointer, but there's a sheet on the floor on the bottom left-hand portion of that photograph. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that where the deceased was located when this photograph was taken?
Yes, he is under that sheet.
And what are we looking at in this photograph?
That is the same room, just a different angle. You can still see the deceased underneath that sheet, just showing the general appearance of the room.
And the sheet right here, that's the sheet covering the deceased, and is this after the home is searched, or is this the condition it was in when you first observed it?
That is the condition it was in when we first arrived.
And looking on the right side of that, there is what appears to be a bunk bed there, is that correct?
That is correct.
I think we have another photograph of that, but was it your understanding that was Timothy Ferguson's bed?
That is what we have been told, yes.
And what are we looking at in this image?
That is the upper bunk of that loft bed or bunk bed that we spoke of.
And that's, I believe that's another Norton Shores officer that we can see there with a mask on. And beyond that, there's what appears to be another room there. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And it's the testimony has been thus far that there are two bedrooms. Actually, there's the common area, a bathroom, and two bedrooms and a small closet in the lower level. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you observed both of those bedrooms?
I did.
And was it your understanding that those bedrooms belonged to one to Paul Ferguson and one to the minor child, G?
That's correct.
And so we're looking at the top bunk and looking towards one of those bedrooms. Is that correct?
That is correct. That would be G's bedroom.
All right, and what are we looking at in this next photograph?
That is the upper level of the home, the kitchen.
And again, looking at this photograph, is this taken prior to any search actually taking place?
No, this was the scene of the home as we found it.
So the items all strewn about are not, you know, you see on television police officers going in and emptying drawers and throwing stuff around. Did any of that occur prior to this photograph being taken?
No, we don't operate that way. We take care of the property that we're searching.
There's going to be a better view of it, but on the extreme right side of that photograph is what appears to be a refrigerator. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you can see, we'll get to it. I believe it's in the next photograph anyway. Here, are we looking at another view of that photograph?
It is. Another view of that refrigerator.
And so that's a bottom freezer, so a refrigerator where the refrigerator is on top and the freezer portion is on the bottom. Is that correct?
Correct.
And there appears to be a lock on the bottom portion of that, or two locks there actually, but one lock with a front connection point on that freezer. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And is this the upper portion, the refrigerator portion?
Yes.
Right, and that also appears to be a lock as well with a keyhole, correct?
Yep, correct.
And is that just a wider shot of, so you can see both the upper and lower portion of that refrigerator?
That's correct.
There's a door slightly ajar there. Where does that door go to?
That's what's been referred to as the pantry.
And what are we looking at in this photograph?
Another view of the kitchen area. You can see the stairs leading down to the main entrance, as well as a chest freezer.
And next to the freezer, it appears to be a coat rack, is that right?
Yes.
And there's a large white tub there. Do you recall what was located in that tub?
I believe it was dog food.
So those are the stairs that we could, the stair rail we can see there, are those the stairs that come up from the front door?
Yes.
And immediately then to your right as you come up those stairs is that door to the pantry, correct?
Correct.
And what are we looking at in that image?
That's the chest freezer that we just had looked at with the lock on it, the black lock.
And what are we looking at in this image?
It's a photograph of the inside of the refrigerator and portions of the freezer.
And by all accounts, it looks like there's quite a healthy amount of food contained in that portion of the refrigerator. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely.
Condiments on the door, milk on the door, other items, pickles, more mayonnaise, lots of items inside that refrigerator.
Very well stocked.
And is that the freezer drawer portion?
That is the freezer.
And you would see pizza rolls, some type of frozen mac and cheese, a couple of boxes of frozen mac and cheese, and some type of packaged meat, as well as other items in that freezer, correct?
Yes, many options.
And what are we looking at in this?
That's inside of the chest freezer, showing all the food available in there.
So there's some frozen chicken, there's some desserts in there, there's some bread, all
yes.
Visible in that image?
Correct.
Again, this and the refrigerator and the freezer all had locks on them, correct?
Correct.
And what are we looking at in this image?
That's that closet pantry door that was just to the right of the refrigerator near the stairs and the inside of the pantry area.
And again, there's more food items in there. There's canned soup, cereal, multiple items inside that location. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, I think we're back downstairs now. So can you tell the jury what we're looking at in this image?
This is the first search warrant at the home. To the right of the screen, you can see the bunk bed that was designated as the deceased bunk bed, and then the small room door, the closet under the stairs.
And at the very top right portion of that door, can you describe for the jury what we're looking at there?
On the top right of the door is an alarm, which appeared to me to be activated whenever that door would be opened.
We have a close-up of that in the next image. Is that's the alarm sensor?
Correct. You can see the one sensor part on the door jam and the other sensor part on the door. So when the door is opened, it would trigger.
Now, let's talk for just a moment, because you referenced it just a moment ago. You said that these photographs specifically, these two exhibits, were taken during the execution of the first search warrant at the home. Is that correct?
Correct.
So that was the search warrant that was executed on July 6th, correct?
That is correct.
That's the date that Timothy Ferguson's body was located in the home.
Correct.
And following the conclusion of the execution of the search warrant and all the interviews that were taking place, was Ms. Van der Ark placed in custody at that point in time?
She was not.
Was she free to remain in the home the night of July 6th leading into July 7th?
She was.
And what are we looking at in this next photograph?
That is the inside of the small room.
And you refer to it as a small room. Is that, throughout the course of this investigation, did you come to recognize that as being referred to as the small room by Ms. Van der Ark as well as Paul Ferguson?
That is correct.
And there's a tarp in there and a box in there. Was anything else located in this room?
That was it, just the tarp and that box.
And what was the overall physical condition of that room based on your observations at the time that you were there?
When we opened the door to that room, there was an overpowering odor of urine, very offensive smell coming from that room.
And is this just another view of that looking down at the tarp that you had referred to?
Correct.
And what are we looking at with this image here?
That is a view from the inside of the door For the small room, the door is open, and that is what would be on the inside of the room.
And it appears that there's a crack in the door, is that correct?
It does.
This next image is that the other side of that door?
Correct, that would be the opposite side of the door, also noting the damage to the door, the crack.
Now this next photograph appears to be the same area that you would appears in the earlier exhibit, is that correct?
Yes.
But what's different, it's obvious, but what's different about this photograph than the earlier photograph?
The alarm for the door is missing.
And when was this photograph taken?
This photograph was taken on the July the 7th when we executed the second search warrant the next day.
So this was taken after Ms. Vander Ark was allowed to remain in the home the night after the execution of the first search warrant, correct?
That's correct.
And when you go back for the search warrant on the second day, the alarm that you previously observed has been removed from the door.
That is correct.
And you photographed it for that reason.
Yes, I recognized that it was missing, so I photographed it.
And then working backwards, is this that same door, but just showing it without the alarm and on the second day when you went back?
That is correct.
And what are we looking at in this image?
That is a view of the bathroom on the lower level.
Specifically on that countertop there, on the bathroom counter, there appears to be some type of camera. Is that right?
Yes, there is.
And you've heard Officer Stefanich's testimony earlier today about a camera that appeared to be motion activated or following when he was in the bathroom. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Is that camera?
That is.
And what are we looking at there?
I had stepped further into the bathroom and took that photograph, so the vanity to the left side looking into the toilet shower area.
And Officer Stefanich noted, and you can see in that photograph, is there a shower curtain on that shower?
There is no shower curtain.
And the camera is just off to the on the left side of the screen, is that correct?
That's correct.
But if it's motion activated, it stands to reason that a person in the shower or on the toilet, that camera could turn to track their movements in the bath and or on the toilet.
It'd certainly be in view of it, yes.
And what image are we looking at here?
This is the vanity within that lower level bathroom that we had previously looked at.
Now, if you look back, the camera is no longer in this second image. Was the camera taken as part of the search warrant?
It was.
And so now we're looking down at the vanity, and what, if anything, did you note in terms of the investigation here in that photograph?
Unusual items for a bathroom vanity, such as a bottle of hot sauce and a bag of zip ties.
And the hot sauce is right here, and the zip ties right here. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Just keep moving for just a little bit. And what are we looking at in this photograph?
That's a close-up of the bottle of hot sauce.
Extreme Regret Scorpion Carolina Reaper hot sauce?
That's correct. Screaming Hot.
Screaming Hot, yeah. And was this taken into evidence?
It was.
And what are we looking at in this next image?
Those would be the leg shackles that were found in the lower level of the home.
This is probably a good time. You brought some other physical exhibits with you. If we could go ahead and just have those marked at this point, and I'll let you know what to mark what.
What items would you like out?
Let's start with the hot sauce.
Bathroom hot sauce?
It's my understanding you have two types of hot sauce there, is that correct?
Yeah, one that was located in the bathroom, one that was located on the kitchen floor.
Okay. We'll go ahead and mark that first hot sauce, the bathroom one, number 38.
Would you like these removed from the bags?
I think the jury can see, at least with the hot sauce one, I think we can leave that one as is. So we'll mark that one as number 38. And this is, for the record, this is the hot sauce that was removed from the bathroom vanity.
Correct.
Permission published to the jury, Judge?
Yes. These have been admitted.
By stipulation.
Okay, now this next item are the shackles. We'll go ahead and mark those as number 41. Are these the shackles that we can see in that photograph there?
That is correct.
And maybe this is a clumsy way to ask the question, but what type of shackles are these? What are we talking about in terms of material?
They are metal shackles, appear to be of the same quality and type that we would use in our employment as police officers.
And does the handcuff key that you would typically carry open these shackles?
Yes.
Just keep that with the envelope. All right, what else do we have? Second bottle of hot sauce that was recovered from the residence?
Correct. This is the hot sauce that was located on the floor of the kitchen.
Same type of hot sauce, this one located in the kitchen area, is that correct?
That's correct.
Right, we'll have this one marked and previously admitted as People's 39 dish. I think they're just about done. I just wanted to make sure everybody had an opportunity to look at those before we move to the... There's two more. I believe it's the second hot sauce and the zip ties making their way around.
So. I don't want to hold you up on questioning. So.
I wanted everybody to have an opportunity to look at them before we moved on anyway. So.
So
had an opportunity to, I think, observe all of those there. Do you need just a moment to put those back in the bag? Again, for the record, those were People's Exhibits.
People's Exhibits 38 and 39 were hot sauce, Exhibit 40 was the zip ties, and Exhibit 41 was the leg shackles, all previously admitted by stipulation, Judge.
All right, moving on with our exhibits here and photographs, what are we looking at in this photograph?
So that is still in that large common room in the basement of the home, or the lower level of the home, kind of a a knee wall there, and you can see a camera sitting on top of a software box, it appears.
And it was that projecting out to some area in the
yeah, common area? Yeah, that specific camera was looking at the area of Timothy's bunk bed and the door to the small room.
And this next image?
Those are some keys that were found in the home.
And there's a number of remote controls attached to those. What do those appear to be?
It was my understanding that those remote controls could activate the sensor alarms that were on the doors.
And this next image?
That's an ice maker that was in the kitchen countertop.
And the next image there?
Same ice maker, just full of ice.
Now, Detective, or excuse me, Lieutenant, at some point, there were some cell phones seized from the residence, is that correct?
That is correct.
Including a cell phone belonging to Ms. Vander Ark.
That is correct.
And did you have an opportunity, did as part of the investigation, did the Norton Shores Police Department perform an extraction of that cell phone?
Yes.
And it seems obvious, but what is the purpose of extracting information from that cell phone?
Often cell phones can contain evidence of the crime that we're investigating.
Your Honor, for this next portion, we've discussed already that Lieutenant Hoeksema and Detective Ahm will be reading a portion of the text messages. So I think we're prepared to do that at this point in time. This will be, for the record, this is going to be previously stipulated to be admitted as People's Exhibit Number 36, and this is an excerpt of those text messages, and you've had an opportunity to review those text messages, is that correct?
I have.
And these text messages come directly from the extraction of the cell phone that was performed on Shonda Vander Ark's cell phone, is that correct?
Correct.
And you've had an opportunity to review these, and did these depict different moments in time from February to July of 2022, conversations, between Shonda Vander Ark and Paul Ferguson?
That is correct.
So we need one more chair up there, actually, is what we're going to need.
Mr. Roberts, so yes, Detective Hoeksema is going to be playing the part of the defendant, I believe you said, or is it?
No, actually, Detective Ahm will be reading the defendant's portion, and Lieutenant Hoeksema will be reading Paul Ferguson's.
Paul Ferguson, okay. Portion. All right. All right, we just need a chair. An extra one, I think. So just so the jury understands, usually a witness can read both parts. It can get a little confusing, obviously, because it's the same voice. So the parties have stipulated essentially that Detective Hoeksema will be reading the text messages of Paul Ferguson and Detective Ahm, who is coming up as of now, is reading the part of the defendant. Mr., I think we probably should swear her in. So, Detective.
Ms. Gilmore just pointed out, Judge.
Yeah.
That's probably a good idea for this portion.
All right, Detective Wall. In the manner now pending, do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
All right, put your hand down, grab a seat. Please state your name for the record, spelling your first name and last name.
My first name is Stephanie, S T E P H A N I E. Last is Alm, A L M.
All right, you may proceed, Mr. Roberts.
Thank you. Your Honor, can we get the lights on?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Does that help? Is that good right there? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, for the record, these are, you'll be reading verbatim the text messages between Shonda Vander Ark and Paul Ferguson. And we've also taken some lengths to make sure that you're identifying the dates and approximate times where these text messages are being sent. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And if we move to a different day, there's an indication there so the jury understands what days we're talking about, correct?
That's correct.
I believe you could begin.
First, rude, and second, why are his hands free? And what did he get into that he felt he needed to brush his teeth to hide it?
Sorry, I don't know he was up.
What do you mean you didn't know he was up? Has he not been... The date is 2/18/2022.
Thank you.
First, rude, and second, why are his hands free? And what did he get into that he felt he needed to brush his teeth to hide it?
Sorry, I didn't know he was up.
What do you mean you didn't know he was up? Has he not been upstairs against the wall?
No.
What? Why the heck not?
I just didn't.
What the heck has he been doing?
According to him, he's just been setting. I don't know, though. I didn't know he was awake.
Find out what he has snuck right the heck now, because I know he has snuck stuff since you weren't doing what you were supposed to. What do you mean you didn't know he was awake? You both should have been awake at 10:30. I am not happy. You know he wasn't just sitting there. Check the brownies in the kitchen. Check everything not locked away. Check where the flipping keys have been.
I already checked everything.
Correct,
that concludes that section. The next date is February the 28th.
And check his breath. I can almost guarantee he's eaten something. He was chewing on something when he walked downstairs. You and I will be talking about this on a later date when we're both home.
Yes, he grabbed chips, I know.
Is that break there?
Yes, the next text thread starts on March the 4th at 8:59 p.m. KK.
About 5, maybe 10 minutes. So I'll have you up if you're tired of the jury room. Please rise. All right, you may be seated. Just for purposes of the record, Mr. Roberts and Mr. Johnson had a sidebar with the court indicating, Mr. Johnson indicated that his client was suffering some distress, specifically a panic attack, and he asked for 5 minutes. I think that's reasonable. So at this point in time, court is going to take a brief recess. Mr. Johnson, just please let the bailiff know when your client is well enough to proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, we're in recess. Back in the record, 23110FC, People's State of Michigan versus Shonda Vander Ark. Mr. Johnson, is your client well enough to proceed at this time?
I believe so, yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Anything before we bring the jury out, Mr. Roberts?
Where do you want to restart, I guess? They were in the middle of their testimony, and I don't know what part got interrupted, so.
I think we were on the third date, I thought.
Third of March.
Okay. I've got it, they're on, the pages are sequential because of the printout. Oh. They're not sequential in what they're reading because there's some gaps. I have them on page 4227.
Okay.
What's that?
Thank you.
Sound accuracy, mister?
That's fine.
Okay, anything else before we bring the jury out? Mr. Roberts?
Yes, I do anticipate at some point there's, and we'll probably get to that point right before lunch, and that's a logical stopping point. It's a couple of days ahead in the testimony, but there's an image that gets sent to Ms. Vander Ark.
Okay.
We discussed this previously. This is an image of Mr. Ferguson while he's alive.
Okay.
But it was sent to her to demonstrate the concerns that Paul Ferguson had about his condition. And I do intend to project that so the jury can see that there's a photograph associated with those particular text messages. So I would ask to reconnect to the monitors, and those photographs are going to be admitted. When we get to that portion of the text messages, though, that presents itself as a likely stopping point for the lunch break. It'll probably take about 15, 20 minutes to get to that point.
Okay, so your intention is to put the image on the screen?
Yes.
Of Mr. Ferguson?
Yes, he's alive. This is why he's alive, Jim. So. as I indicated, any of the images that we have of him while he's deceased are going to go privately to the jury and not be projected on the screen.
I think my preference in respect for Mr. Ferguson is not to publish that on the screen because we are broadcasting here. I don't think that's appropriate or respectful to him. I don't mind if the jury sees that, if it's published to him in private, but I don't think that's appropriate based on we have TV or we have cameras in the courtroom.
Right. So well, I have them printed, so when we get to that point, Judge, I will just ask to present them to the jury. Those are, for the record, those are going to be 36A and B because they relate directly to exhibit number 36. So these are sub-exhibit of that exhibit, 36A and B.
Okay.
So I will present to the jury at that time when we get to that text message. And again, when we get to that point, I think that would probably be a good point to stop for the lunch break.
Okay. All right. Anything to say on that, Mr. Johnson?
We were supportive of the court's position. Not that it makes a difference, but we do support it, and we think that's the appropriate resolution for the particular issue.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, I did notice your client is chewing gum. Is that something that is necessary?
No, sir.
Okay, would you have her please sweep that out?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. All right, with that, let's bring the jury in. All right, please rise. Maybe seen it. Okay. Yeah. All right. Detective Ulm and Hooksma, you are still under oath. Mr. Roberts, you can proceed.
Thank you. I believe we were at page 4227, so why don't you just take it from the top of 4227?
This is on March the 3rd at 8:59 p.m. KK.
Sohoa. So how has he been disobedient?
He just won't listen or does something I didn't tell him he could. He just tried claiming his zip cuffs were too tight when I didn't even tighten them to where there's no room for his wrists.
Leave them as they are and I will check them when I get home and you can tell him that. And if he lied about that, he gets himself in even more trouble.
There's more to come in the trial of Shanda Vander Ark. Here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Stay with us.